You are listening to BensTorah.com.
What is the reason the Ribbono Shel Olam chose Moshe Rabbeinu of all the people who are in that generation, who were Nevi'im, that he should be ultimately chosen to be the Redeemer, the Goel of Klal Yisrael at that point in time, and likewise be given the job to be the official lawgiver of Kol HaTorah Kula to Klal Yisrael? What is it that made Moshe so important, so significant, have such chashivus in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he should be given such a task, such a tafkid in this world, and be able to do things that no other person before him or after him was able to accomplish? One of the parts of the eulogy that is said upon Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Chumash, where the Ribbono Shel Olam writes a hesped upon him, which it says very explicitly, that there was no other Navi ever in Klal Yisrael that was ever on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. What is it that made Moshe Rabbeinu so special? So listen very carefully as I will explain it to you, and understand that what Chazal say about Moshe Rabbeinu, many of these things can be reapplied to developing ourselves, developing our children, developing our grandchildren, to give them kishronos, give them certain quality traits that they could have the potential to become a person who has yecholosim on a spiritual level that aim in the direction of a Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's start the shiur very quickly. The first thing I want to mention to you is, if you look in Parshas Shemos, which is, this is Parshas Shavua, the Parsha does not begin with Moshe Rabbeinu, but it begins with Klal Yisrael and their integrating into the society of the Egyptian Empire. That's what the beginning of the Parsha is about, and the various Gezeiros Kashas that Paro starts instituting against the Jewish people once Yaakov and all the children of his generation, including Yosef, pass away. All of a sudden, new gzeiros are placed against the Jewish people. We're not getting into that today, but that's how the Parsha begins. When it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu being brought into the Parsha, that begins really in Perek Beis, where it tells us, Vayelach Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi, Vatar Isha Atei Leben, Vatera Soki Tofu, Vatispener Shloshi Arachim. We have the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's parents conceived him. They hid him for a little while because the Egyptians had already made a gezerah before that Kol HaBen HaYilod HaYoret HaShlichu V'Kol HaPas T'Chayun, that if anybody sees a boy being born, they should be drowned and that only the girl should be kept alive. The parents of Moshe Rabbeinu quite obviously wanted to keep him alive as long as possible in secrecy. And when they saw they could no longer keep him hidden in the house, they put him in a little cradle made with certain materials. And they hoped that somehow he would escape this gezerah against the Jewish boys. And it says, V'atosem basuf, he was placed in a special Suf over there, a special watery area, a swampy area. And then it tells us that his sister, Miriam, she wanted to see what's going to happen to her brother. And the Torah then tells us that the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is in control of what happens in this world, has Bas Paro and Hanaros coming to the area where Moshe's little cradle is hidden. She basically has the cradle brought to her, Vatiftach, and she opened it up, Vatireo Hayeled, Hinena Bocher, she saw a little baby crying, Vatachmalov, she had compassion upon him, and she realized this child was from the Jewish boys that were hidden away to be safe from the Gezerah. Quite obviously, she decided that she would like to adopt this child because she had no children. And all of a sudden, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and she says to her that if you want, I can get a nursemaid to nurse this little baby from the Jewish women. Vatenik es hayeled, and she will basically nurse this child. And the fact of the matter is that Bas Paro acquiesced. The reason she acquiesced, Chazal tell us midrashically, is because when she tried to have the Egyptian nursemaids nurse him, Moshe, the little baby, was unwilling to nurse from them. So Bas Paro realized that she needed help, and Miriam offered help that perhaps the child would nurse from a Jewish woman, which he did. And without Bas Paro realizing it, the woman that, and not realizing the relationship that Miriam had as the older sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, she takes the baby from Bas Paro, but obviously momentarily finds a nursemaid. And who's the nursemaid she picks? She picks basically Aim HaYeled, the mommy of Moshe Rabbeinu. And she says, do me a favor, Bas Paro says, Elichi HaYeled, Hanikeoli, make sure you nurse him properly. I'm going to pay you for this. She takes the baby and she nurses him. And then the Torah tells us, V'yigdal HaYeled, when the boy grows older, no longer needs the nursing, but the Veil of Bas Paro, as is promised, he's brought back to Bas Paro. V'hiel HaBen, she treats him as a son. Vatikra Shema Moshe, she calls him by the name Moshe. V'tomen, she says, Ki min hamayim mishisuhu, that I drew him out of the water. So the name Moshe is a commemoration of that specific event. And the Torah tells us, V'yigdulu Moshe, the Moshe grew and grew and grew in that household. So the Chazal tell us, from these couple of psukim, we start to learn a little bit about Moshe Rabbeinu from his conception to his birth to the earliest years of his life on the face of this earth. Number one, what is interesting is the Rabbeinu Shalom, who is in control, Bashkacha Pratis, what happens down here on our earth, is the Rabbeinu Shalom sets up a situation that Moshe Rabbeinu, little Moshele, is unwilling to nurse from the non-Jewish nursemaids of the Egyptian Empire. Baruch Hashem, his sister, who was a Neviah, prophetess, stood by his side, watched what was going on. As the Torah tells us, she convinced Bas Paro that if he doesn't want to nurse from the Mitzrios, she can have him nurse through the Ivrios for the Jewish women, and probably they'll be more successful. Bas Paro trusts her. She makes a promise. She'll bring back the little baby to her so she can adopt the child and raise her in the palace. And what's interesting, therefore, is that if you think about it for a couple of minutes, Moshe Rabbeinu had, therefore, an intuitive spirit, a certain hashgacha pratis upon him from the time of his conception. Both of his parents were basically of prophetic capacity. They were from the famous Shevet Levi. That Shevet Levi did not have the necessary gezeiros kashos that the rest of Klal Yisrael had at that point in time, and a certain clergy privilege, which therefore made them free from any type of gezeiros kashos that would be put upon the population at large. The one to give credit to was Yosef. Yosef set the stage of clergy exemption when he was still in charge of Mitzrayim. And when it comes to growing up, therefore, he ultimately grew up not in his early years in the house of Paro, or Bas Paro, but he was able to grow up in the house of his parents, his mother and his father. And quite obviously, the chinuch that they gave to little Jewish children, his parents gave to him. He was very careful, Chazal tell us, that when he came to eating foods, intuitively, he only wanted to be nursed from a Jewish nursemaid rather than a non-Jewish nursemaid. And Chazal could obviously have a Midrash Chazal concerning this. Why is it that Moshe did not want to nurse from a non-Jewish woman? Why did Hashem give the child the regesh to feel that way? So Chazal say, Per she'asa l'dab b'mashchina, the mouth that later on is going to be zocha to be in a prophetic union with Hashem and speak to Hashem continuously, can that child be fed from its early youth with milk or substances coming from non-Jewish and non-kosher sources? And therefore, the Rabban Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to develop his spirituality, his kishronot, his spiritual capacities, in a state of Kedusha v'tahara. We know that non-kosher food causes a spiritual defect in the neshama and has to be rectified, because Matamtem is Alev, Chazal tell us. So the Rabban Hashem didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to have any non-kosher food entering his mouth, even as a little babala, even just getting milk from a nursemaid, since she eats non-kosher food, the milk that would come from her into Moshe's mouth would come from non-kosher sources. So therefore, the Rabban Hashem made sure that he would be given kosher milk. Literally, this would be chalav coming from a Yisraelis, and therefore his initial nutrition in the Torah itself from Jewish women who ate kosher foods, who in turn, therefore, his mother gave him only milk that came from a total kosher source. And that helped the spiritual development of a little Moshe as a little baby develop in a state of Kedusha v'tahara. The halacha l'mahaseh is that even in Shulchan Aruch today, in Yerideya, they say if a baby has to be nursed and the mother can't nurse, they should try to always get a Jewish nursemaid to nurse and not use a non-Jewish woman to nurse the baby, in order that every Jewish child should be given the same type of diet that Moshe Rabbeinu had, and that is given a kosher diet. The milk should come from a woman who's a Jewess, eats kosher food, to give every child the spiritual potential that by having the early childhood and the food and the drink that they have coming from kosher sources should give them a state of Kedusha Vatara and the Hilig and Neshama they were born with, that one day if they ever wanted to be able to speak to the Shekhinah, they would have the same capacities of potential that Moshe was given when he was born and given a kosher diet from the very beginning of his existence on the face of this earth. So we see that tonight, number one, Kedusha v'tahara from the child's conception with Taharas Mishpacha, and then when the child's born, the fact that the child is given kosher food to eat from his little babyhood, even though it's not chayv mitzvahs yet, but your makbid to make sure what the child consumes when it comes to food and drink and such only comes from kosher sources. All of this is part and parcel in the spiritual development of the kishronos, the qualities that are possessed by Jewish children. Chazal point out, therefore, that this is what's derived from Moshe Rabbeinu, brought down by the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. And quite obviously, as Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and others said, every Jewish child should be given the potential of a Moshe when it comes to their initial upbringing by the kosher environment that they're being brought up with, Ruchnius, Gashmius, and every way, to have the, at least the capacities of Tara v'Kedusha be given to them from their early childhood, from the beginning of the existence on the face of this earth. So this is the beginning of a Moshe Rabbeinu, that his initial stepping into this world was done al taras ha-tara v'ha-kedusha. What is then interesting, and Ibn Ezra points this out, why is it that the Rabbeinu Shalom, who can orchestrate anything, had ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu returned after the problem of the kashrus was taken care of to Bas Paro to be brought up in the palace of the king? He should go up there, he should have his giddel over there. So the Ibn Ezra steps in over here. The Ibn Ezra says is that the Rabban Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be brought up in a royal setting, a royal upbringing, as an aristocrat. And the reason the Ibn Ezra said this is because when you're brought up in that type of atmosphere, you have a certain type of personality, you have a certain type of starkeit, strength, when it comes to dealing with people of all backgrounds. As an aristocrat, you're able to speak to aristocrats, you're able to speak to kings and to princes and to royalty, And therefore, he wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to have the capacity to face the most powerful and the most prestigious aristocrats of the face of this earth, not to have any fear of them, not to feel any inferiority, shouldn't have a slave complex, as perhaps many of the Jewish brethren who did not have this upbringing possessed, and therefore shall the ability to stand in the royal court in front of the most powerful person on the face of this earth later on, Paro, and be able to speak to him, no fear, no trepidation. He spoke to him as one royal upbringing person speaks to another person of royal upbringing, as an aristocrat. And this is therefore one of the qualities that Moshe was given in his upbringing by being an adopted child of Bas Paro, in order to give him this type of standing, that what he says should be accepted as such, and his ability to speak that way should also be given that type of power and energy to speak to anybody, not be fearful to articulate his opinion and the consequences. So therefore, according to Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu's upbringing, as Ibn Ezra interprets, was critical in the slow but sure development of the personality of Moshe Rabbeinu as the ultimate person charged with the redemption of Klal Yisrael, making the demands, making the requests of Paro and the Egyptians concerning the Jewish people, no fear and trepidation whatsoever, direct to the point, and very, very powerful requests that are being made by him and demands made by him. It's the real upbringing that he received that gave him the power of personality to do this without any fear and trepidation whatsoever. This is the contribution of Ibn Ezra in describing a portrait of Moshe's upbringing being a part and parcel of developing his personality and his energies and his kochos and his capabilities. We now have the next part of the Torah when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu discussing his personality. What type of personality did Moshe Rabbeinu have? So Chazal tell us, it says, Vayar b'sivlosam, that Moshe saw, since he knew he was a Jew, after all, he was brought up initially by his parents, quietly, and they told him who he is and what he is, and they gave him his hashkaf of Torah from his very, very early youth, the titash, atitash teres imecha, shemabim menusa avicha. He got all of that in his parents' household before he was returned to the palace of the king and to Bas Paro, and therefore he knew he was a Jew. And when he saw the gezeros that were being placed against his Jewish brethren, Vayar b'sivlosam. Chazal comment, if you want to know the personality traits that were possessed by this great individual, Moshe Rabbeinu, what did the Torah tell us? He saw in their sivlos. He saw in the burdens being placed upon them. So Rashi comments, B'shem the Medrash, Titein eina v'libo lios meitza alehem. Moshe was able to feel the pain, to feel all of the argamus nefesh. He was able to see it, put his heart to it, his whole essence. He felt the pain of his Jewish brethren. He might not be subject to this pain. He might come under this decree, but he was able to affiliate with his Jewish brethren. He was concerned for his Jewish brethren. He felt their pain. He felt their oppression, which shows you what a sensitive person he was to the pain and anguish of other individuals. He wasn't into himself, but he was concerned for the pain and anguish being experienced by the other Jews living in Mitzrayim at that point in time. The Torah then tells us something quite interesting, that Moshe, when he went out, he saw an Ish Mitzri Maki Ish Ivri, an Egyptian beating up a Jew, and quite obviously he saw the Mitzri taking advantage of his Egyptian position over the Jew who is being subjugated, part of the Gzeres Kashas of the Mitzrayim against the Jewish population. And it says, May every may echav, he realizes his Jewish brother that's being persecuted. The Torah tells us, Fayif en kovuko, Fayar kien kenish, Vayach Mitzri, like Mei Bechol. What did Moshe do? He looked here and he looked there. So the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin says, what do you mean he looked here and there? He wasn't just merely looking to see if anybody saw what he was about to do, and that is get rid of this Egyptian and kill him, so his fellow Jews should no longer be oppressed. But the Netziv says he looked deeper into the society of Egypt, and he realized being part of the Egyptian Empire in the royal home, the Gezeres Kashos that Paro had set against the Jewish people. He realized the anti-Semitism and the level of anti-Semitism. There was no justice to be found for Jews in Egypt whatsoever. Even if this Jew would have taken this Mitzri to court, he would not have gotten any justice. A mishpat, there was no mishpat judgment on behalf of Jews in Egypt. He therefore realized that the only way to save this Jew from being beat up and perhaps even destroyed and killed by this Mitzri is by killing the Mitzri. This Mitzri was being Rodef, his Jewish brother, and the halach is when it comes to the din of Rodef, the din of pursuit. If a third person sees somebody being Rodef somebody and wanting to kill him, you have a right to intervene to kill the Rodef, the pursuer, to save that person who is the nirdaf, the one who's being pursued from harm and potential death itself. And therefore, he looked here and he looked there and he realized there's no justice for Jews in the Egyptian Empire. He therefore took the law into his own hands. He basically killed the Mitzri. Chazal say he did it miraculously with the Shema Mefarish. That's one pshat given by Chazal. He buried the body of this Egyptian in the ground so it wouldn't be so obvious what he did over here. But we saw that Moshe already at this point in time, regardless of how he was brought up, and whose house he was being brought up in, the same house that made the Gezeres Kashos, he was a member of that household, the concern and pain he had for his brothers was more important to him than his position, than who he was and the power that he possessed, and therefore he was willing to take a chance to kill the Egyptian and to save his Jewish brethren from persecution. This shows you already the personality traits. Not only did he put his heart and mind to feel that pain, but he was willing then to take action and to intervene when he saw a Jew being persecuted and to kill the persecutor to save his Jewish brethren, even though this might cost him his own life and perhaps he would have to leave the palace and run away from Egypt because his life would be put in jeopardy because of what he did. And if you read the Chumash later on, you find that that's exactly what happened. There were people who tattletaled upon him to the king of what he did, and the king wanted then to punish Moshe for what he did, which forced Moshe to therefore leave the Egyptian Empire and end up in Midian, which we'll discuss very shortly. What's interesting to note, it wasn't only that he intervened to stop an Egyptian from beating up a Jew, but he saw Shnei Anoshim Nitzim. He saw two Jews fighting with each other. Chazal said this was Dasan Vaviron. And what he basically said to the one who was beating up his Jewish brother, Lama Sakareyecha, why are you beating up a fellow Jew? How dare you raise your hand to beat up and hurt your fellow Jew? We saw the concern and love that he has for one Jew or for another Jew. It wasn't just before an Egyptian attacking a Jew that he intervened. But even when one Jew attacks another Jew, it hurts him, it bothers him. How dare you raise your hand to be chevil bechaveiro and do terrible things to hurt your fellow Jew? What was the reaction of these Jews to him? So instead of the person who was being hit by the other Jew saying to him, thank you for protecting me, they both attacked Moshe. And they said, v'sav v'shefet aleinu, are you our prince, our head? Are you our judge upon us that you intervene in our conflict over here? So once again, we do see that Moshe Rabbeinu was feeling a responsibility that when he saw an avla taking place even between Jews, he felt the responsibility of intervening, of getting involved, of acting as a savish shofet, of trying to prevent controversy amongst Jews. another glimpse at the personality traits of this Moshe Rabbeinu as he was growing and growing and developing his personality in the Egyptian Empire. His concern and love for every human being, his concern and love for his Jewish brethren in particular, feeling the pain, willing to kill a guy to save a Jewish life when the Jew's life was at stake, willing to break up fights between Jews and Jews because he didn't feel it's proper for Jews to be hitting each other and hurting one another. This sense of responsibility already started to demonstrate the type of person he was. He was willing to risk his position, willing to risk his name, willing to risk his where he was in the Egyptian Empire when it comes to be part of the royal palace. He was risking to risk everything over here for the sake of justice and emes and tzedek, which is an important quality a leader has to have when it comes to being a leader of Klal Yisrael.
You are listening
which
to
which now
Ben's
takes
Torah.
Us to the next stage of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. We know that he was tattletaled upon, his life is at stake, he escaped ultimately from Egypt and he went to Midian, as the Torah tells us in this parsha. That's where he meets Yisrael, that's where ultimately speaking, after saving Yisrael's daughters when they were being harassed, welcomed into Yisrael's home, a shidduch took place. That's where he married Yisrael's daughter Tzipporah, and that shidduch took place. The shidduch that Moshe ultimately gave birth to two children later on from being married to Tzipporah. We find that in that location, Moshe was given a job by Yisrael, and that is to be the Roeh Tzon, to be the shepherd of the flocks of Yisrael. And Moshe took this job very, very seriously. He took tremendous responsibility and achrayus for the sheep that were put under his supervision. And Chazal tell a story that one of the sheep started running away from the rest of the flock. Moshe was concerned that he shouldn't lose even one sheep. He ran after that sheep, and the sheep was running, running, and running. And quite obviously, he was concerned that the sheep might hurt itself, might be lost. Finally, he caught up with this specific sheep. Ultimately, he was willing to carry the sheep back. He was tired, you know, to the flock, that it should be with the rest of the sheep. But in the location where the sheep went, and quite obviously, this was a way that the Rabbanu Shalom was able to bring Moshe to a specific location by him chasing after the sheep. He came to later on, to what later on was going to be Har Sinai. And at that specific location, Chazal tell us two things became obvious. Number one, his willingness to chase after the sheep to save its life showed you that Moshe had another personality trait. And that is Saba Lechaim in HaTorah, the concern for pain of animate entities, not only the pain of a human being, which was demonstrated in the events that happened in Mitzrayim, but even the pain and anguish of animals was something that he felt was halachically responsible for him to be concerned with. In the jargon of the halacha, this means that tsar, the pain that's caused even to the animal kingdom, let alone the human kingdom, is a Torah concept. It's based upon Torah Hashkafa. Racham aval kol ma'asov. If Hashem is a racham v'chanun, Hashem has rachmonis and concern. Al kol ma'asov. We say that every day in our Ashrei tefillah. It's part of a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim. Moshe also racham aval kol ma'asov. Moshe also had this love and compassion for all of Hashem's creatures. This shows you that he was about chesed, about rachamim. He believed in the principle later on stated in Sefer Mishlei. The ways of Torah are ways of pleasantness, ways of peace. And therefore Moshe showed you the type of sensitive personality that he had when it came to compassion and concern for pain and anguish, not only of the human kingdom, but of the animal kingdom. So where in Mitzrayim he showed his concern for pain and anguish of one human being versus another human being, over here we saw how far it went, that compassion and loving concern was even applicable to the members of the animal kingdom as well. This is the level of sensitivity that Moshe Rabbeinu had when it came to dealing with creatures that Hashem created on the face of this world. Racham avakol masav. There's a medrash that says that Moshe showed by being concerned with the tzon, the sheep, that he has such rachmanis and such concern. So the Rebbeinu Hashem says, my tzon kedoshim, my sheep, my herds of Klal Yisrael, he's surely going to be a concerned leader and be concerned for the health and welfare of each and every Jew and Jewish that's under his supervision. This was another qualifying factor that therefore allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come to the decision, if I have to have a redeemer, a person who's concerned for the health and welfare and is willing to risk his life and everything else to help save his people, he has demonstrated multiple times in self-sacrificial ways that he is the right person I should pick to be willing to put his life at stake, to be the goal, to be the redeemer of the Jewish people. And this is one of the last things that Chazal tell us that Hashem saw about Moshe Rabbeinu, that gave ultimately Hashem the ultimate decision. This is the right man to pick for the job, based upon all the things I told you up until now. And that's why at this point in time, when he came to the foot of Har Sinai, he saw the burning bush. Now Chazal tell us this burning bush was not just a burning bush, but the burning bush was a manifestation of early stage prophecy. If you look very carefully in the text, Rabbi Nebachi ben Osher points out, Moshe first saw a burning bush, and he heard a voice coming from the burning bush to him. He then saw a malach, and the malach basically started speaking to him. And finally, it came that Hashem, b'chvodo u'b'atzmo, the Rabbeinu Shalom came and spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Bachya says that Moshe Rabbeinu at this juncture was initiated into the concept of prophecy. But the level of prophecy that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to receive is the highest level of prophecy that people can obtain in this world. If you put something on a divine Richter scale, where the lowest Navi is level number 1, and the highest Navi is level number 10, Moshe, who says, Lakam ka Moshe, the Navi, at the eulogy, there's no other Navi on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, that Moshe reached level number 10, but it didn't happen 1, 2, 3 instantaneously. They had to go with a gradual initiation into becoming used to the prophetic spirit of speaking to the divine essence of God, first through intermediaries, first through a fire, and then through an actual angel of God, until slowly but surely Moshe was able to adopt in the prophetic development from speaking to a lower level of Nevuah of Ruach HaKodesh, and then later on to a higher level by being addressed by Malachim, until finally he reached the highest level, the concept of Hashem speaking to him, Bichvodo Biatzmo, reaching level number 10, Moshe was able, therefore, to slowly but surely undergo a gradual development of his spiritual capacities to be a Navi. Because to be a Navi is not an easy thing. To have Hashem Shechina speak to you takes an impact upon your physicality. To have the Rabbeinu Shalom, or Bechvelda B'Yatzma, or Malachim, who are incorporeal entities to address a human being, who was a corporeal entity, who was a physical, was a bus of Adam, being addressed by entities that are not bus of Adam, is something that's difficult for a human being to bear. Moshe was able to undergo this metamorphosis slowly but surely at the foot of Har Sinai, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt he was ready to have Hashem Bechfogat to speak to him. And at that point in time, Hashem spoke to him, which meant Moshe underwent a tremendous metamorphosis of Aliyah ben Nevuah at that point in time. And he was given the kayach in his Nevuah to be able to speak to Hashem and have Hashem address him directly without the need of Malachim, ultimately speaking, intervening in between. The Rambam says, when he discusses Nevuah in various places in his Mara Nevuchim, later on in Sefer Mada, in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, the Rambam says the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and all the other Nevi'im is where the other Nevi'im never reached Moshe's level, they always were spoken to through the intermediary of malachim, of angels. Therefore, their aspa aquaria, their way of approaching and appearing and singing the nevuah, was on a lower level. When Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever, had Hashem speaking to him directly, peh el peh, mouth to mouth, face to face, as the nevuah says later on, both in Pashas Baalosko, Moshe's nevuah is defined, and later on in his eulogy at the end of Zeis HaBracha, he reached the ability to have a what we call an aspalaka hamira, a direct, clear vision of the nevuah he was having with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This all began with the experience that happened at the snare at that point in time. And therefore, we see, according to Rabbeinu Barachi and his interpretation of this, that when it comes to spirituality, it has to go from one level to the next level. Rabbeinu Barachi over there, and in this parish, if you want to look it up this week, Rabbeinu Barachi ben Osha on the Chumash, he says when it comes to learning Torah, people have to have patience as well. You can't become a Gadol Hadar by immediately learning 1, 2, 3. But you have to start with one level of Torah and bring yourself to the next level of Torah and the next level until you reach the highest levels of Limud Torah and Havanas Torah. You have to go in a state of gradualism. The same way the attainment of Nevuah through gradualism, one's attainment of knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula, is likewise through a process of gradualism. And this is an important factor when it comes to the development of Moshe Rabbeinu to become the greatest Navi that ever existed in Klal Yisrael. In fact, the Mefarshim point out, and the Kli Yakeh says this explicitly in his first piece in Sefer Vayikra, that Moshe Rabbeinu, quite obviously, was zocher to reach the highest level of Nevuah, not only in his own Zechus, but in the Zechus of the Jewish people, that Hashem gave him the Siyata D'Shmaya because of his job later on, of not only being the redeemer of the Jewish people, but becoming the only person ever authorized to be the official lawgiver of Klal Yisrael from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Torah Tzivulana Moshe, Morasha Kilas Yaakov. Moshe was the one who taught Torah to Klal Yisrael, Kol HaTorah Kula, Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And Moshe made sure it became a Morasha, became an inheritance and a heritage to the Jewish people for generations to come. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Moshe kibbol Torah miSinai. Moshe received the entire Torah on Har Sinai later on, Kol HaTorah Kula. In the 40 days and 40 nights, he learned day and night with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately gave over the Torah later on to Yeshua, who then passed it Ish Mipi Ish, and that's the Torah that we have to this very day, Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Now, another major phenomenon of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is, with all that I've mentioned up until now, the next thing you see about Moshe Rabbeinu is a very important personality trait which he possessed, which Chazal say is crucial, and that is the concept of the anivus, the humility of a Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say, upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mokim Shem Motze Gedul Asau, Motze Anivus Asau. The same place you find godless, you find anivus, you find humility. When Hashem ultimately told Moshe Rabbeinu, he wants him to be the Redeemer and the Lawgiver of the Jewish people, what was Moshe's response? Mi Anochi Ke'elech El Paro, Ki Ois B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. Who am I? I'm a nothing with nothing. Moshe did not hold from himself. He was not a Baal Gaiva. He was a person who was tremendously humble. And Chazal point out that the greatest people, the greatest Gedolim on the face of this earth, the Mida that makes them great is their Mida of humility. If you look at all the Gedolei Hadar that were Gedolei Hadar for Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, the Mida that stands out, the sterling quality of their personality trait that makes them have that leadership, is the Mida of humility, the willing to listen to others, the willing to mavati yourself in front of others. In fact, the Gemara says in Erevin and Daf Yudimum Abeis that even though the words of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are representative of Divrei Chaim, They both represent the way Hashem wants the Torah to be darshan and understood and comprehended. But the halacha ultimately follows most of the time Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai. And one of the reasons given by the Gemara is the anivus, the humility, demonstrated by the Beis Hillel Tamidim, who were not only were interested in what they had to say, they were interested to hear what the Beis Shammai had to say, they were willing to mavatal themselves and listen to other people's opinions before they developed their own opinion about something. That's a very important quality in Limud HaTorah, in Havanas HaTorah, in Talmud Torah, and therefore Chazal tell us the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu, initially not feeling that he's worthy to be the shliach over here, is part of the greatness. When you see anivus, it's a sign of greatness. Another medrash goes out, whoever runs away from COVID, the COVID runs after you to try to catch up to you because you're the right person for this job. And therefore we find, as the Torah continues, that the Rabbeinu Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I want you to know that you are going to be the Shliach. I want you to be the Shliach. Hashem says, don't worry, I'll be with you. I will help you accomplish your mission. You're going to have tremendous siyata d'shmaya and hashkachas Hashem, as the Pesukim tell you in Sepasha Shemos. And then Hashem says to him, Zalachaos kenishlach ticha, one of the signs you're going to give to the Jewish people that I sent you as the official shliach to be their redeemer is that the following is going to happen. Botzias am Mitzrayim, that when you take the Jews out of Egypt and they see that you redeemed them, that you were able to help in the gula of Klal Yisrael, and they go out, as we see later on, Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim by day in the open daylight of the entire world. They marched out in a parade as aristocrats. They took the wealth and Oysher of Mitzrayim with them. They were not running away as servants, but they left as an aristocratic parade, leaving Egypt. And when you take them out of Egypt and you save them from the Memtashar Etuma and the contamination of the Egyptian society and the Avdus and the Shibud, what's going to be the ultimate result? Tavnei Elokim al Har Hazeh Moshe. You're going to take Klal Yisrael from Egypt back to the mountain you're standing now on Har Sinai with Snewas, and you're going to basically worship Hashem and become the Avdi Hashem as Klal Yisrael, the Am Segul of Am HaNivchar. You're going to mekabel the Torah of Har Sinai at this point in time. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not only going to be the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael, but you're going to become also the Lawgiver. You're going to be the only person authorized by me to be the one to officially give them over Tayyak Mitzvahs, Teresh of Iksav, Teresh of Alper, all the halachas that they have to know to become Amanivchar, according to Rabbi Kiva. Ultimately, Har Sinai, Moshe received not only the Klalim, but the Pratim, Ditukim, Kola Terakula, and that's the Kola Terakula that the Mishnah says he was Mekabel in Har Sinai, and later on he gave over to Yeshua and to Klal Yisrael, that now you're going to be going to become the Redeemer, the Goel, the demander of Paro to send the Jews out and to worship Hashem, and you're going to use all the qualities that you have up until this point in time to speak strongly and specifically and make the demands. Don't have any fear whatsoever in doing what I'm telling you to do. And I'm going to give you makos to basically help facilitate convincing Paro and the Jews that you have been sent by God with miracles at your fingertips to be able to accomplish their redemption and their ability to be redeemed and become the Avdei Hashem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a God in this world, the God of the Jews that the whole world is answerable to. When Paro says, Mi Hashem Esh Eshma B'Kaylai, when basically speaking, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is this God that I shall listen to him? Chazal say that ultimately speaking, Moshe demonstrated to Paro through the Makos of Mitzrayim, you better answer to this God. That's Belokimhi. He can take natural law and turn it inside out and outside in, as is demonstrated by the Esamakos. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. He knows exactly what's going on. Hashlacha Pratis. The Rabbanu Shem could do what he wants. punish the evildoers and reward those who deserve getting divine reward. Nobody can stop Ribbono Shalom. There's no other entity on the face of this earth, no other gods that you might believe in, Egyptians, that has any power to counter HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, who you are and what you are will be confirmed, that when you take the Jews out of Mitzrayim with all the miracles I gave you, they'll go in the Midbar, they'll all be surrounded with miracles. Later on we see that in the Midbar, Hashem through Moshe Rabbeinu were able to give them an Ani HaKavod to protect them, and a Be'er Mayim that gave them their water, and gave them Mamin HaShemayim in order to keep them nurtured and keep them fed and keep them with the ability to have food until they came to Har Sinai, and that specific help continued even after they came to Har Sinai and were Mekabel the Torah. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu slowly but surely was growing into the job and slowly but surely developing into an incredible leader. One of the problems and the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu is he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I accept the job, but there's one problem. I'm a kaved perek velosham. I'm not good in speaking. He stuttered, the various midrashim that claim he stuttered because he once took a hot coal into his mouth as a little baby, etc., etc., for various divine reasons that caused wounds in his mouth. Other midrashim give other reasons. But one thing is for sure, he felt, how can I speak? And the answer that was given to him is, I Hashem am the one who gives people the power to speak, the koach hadibor, the koach to have influence. But if you really feel very uncomfortable, etc., etc., you're going to have a helpmate. And at that point, Aaron Yachicha, he is a Dabi Adaba, who is a tremendous speaker. He will assist you, he will accompany you. You'll be the Elohim, you'll be God's agent, giving out the message, and Aaron will be the one to be the Dabi Adaber. He'll help articulate this and explain this and be able to be the one who transmits the message you're giving in a clear, clear language that will be able to impact upon those you're talking to that you mean business and that whatever you say is going to come true. So we therefore see that Moshe Rabbeinu, until he finally accepted the job, maintained that anivus. And Moshe, during his entire life, maintained this anivus to the day he left this world. This was Mokum Gedula So, Atamat Avinu Sasso. As Rashi says in Chumash, where you see godless, you see anivus. This was the Moshe personality, but the person who not only helped redeem us, but was the one who was Morish to us, Kol HaTorah Kula, which we're Zocha to learn to this very day, with all its incredible dimensions, its endless proportions of Terah Sheval Peh, explaining Terah Shevikzav, the Shevim Panim LeTerah. All of this capacity was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, which he then was Meirish later on to Klal Yisrael, as a Morasha, not just a Yerusha, something that becomes the heritage of the Jewish people forever and forever. When it comes to describing Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, there's a very interesting Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says when it came to Moshe's basic qualities later on, after the redemption, after Kabbalah Satera, after Klal Yisrael became the ultimate Aman Yivchar, Aman Lechas Kohenim, and Moshe functioned as their leader with the help of Aaron HaKohen in the Midbar, so Chazal say upon Moshe Rabbeinu, what represented Moshe was Yikav Hadin HaSahar. By him, the law penetrated the mountain, which meant to say Moshe was specializing as the Rosh HaYeshiva. By him, the dissemination of Kol HaTorah Kula to Klal Yisrael was a daily task, which he fulfilled for 40 years until he left this world. Moshe was the expert Rosh HaYeshiva. In fact, Chazal tell us at the end of one of the Pashas in the Torah, Pashas Naso, that Moshe had a capacity that he was able to teach Torah on different levels to different groups of people. In fact, the Gemara in Erevin describes that Moshe used to give a daily Daf Yomi shir on 3-4 different levels to different groups of people, to teaching the same subject matter, but to each group he gave over in a different level, so they should comprehend based upon their level. Those who were on a higher level got a higher level of the shir. Those who were on the lower level got a lower level of the shir, but he disseminated and had the capacity to be able to be mazbe the Torah to all of Klal Yisrael on their respective levels. When it came to Aharon HaKohen, the Gemara tells us he was the Oy of Shalom, Raid of Shalom, Oy Brias Mekavim the Torah. He was the man of the people. He was what I would call, if I have to use the term, the Chassidish Rebbe of the generation of Moshe Aharon. He was the one who was involved in peace and calm and love and compassion, and he basically therefore took on a position as being the Kohen Gadol. Not only was he a functionary in the Beis HaMikdash, but he was a people person. He was a person involved with the Shalom Bayis of Klal Yisrael, and he pursued this very, very seriously during his lifetime. So Moshe and Aaron complemented each other in their leadership of Klal Yisrael, Moshe being the Rosh Yeshiva, Aaron HaKohen being the Chassidish Rebbe, when it comes to his interaction with human beings, dealing with their personal problems. Moshe dealt with the personal problems as well, and Aaron also taught halacha. But when it came to specialties, when it came to special qualities, each one had a certain super quality in the area that I mentioned. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, my Rebbe, used to say to us that the ultimate Rav, to be a successful Rav, and we're going to see this at the end of time, is that all the Rosh Hashivas and Rebbes are going to have both functionalities emanating from one person. They're going to have to be, on one hand, the Rosh Hashivas, the Mora Halacha to their Eda, and at the same time, they're going to have to be people who are Oy Shom Roy Yashom, Oy Brim Akavon Latera, be Rebbes, be people involved in the social work and help of their constituency. Soloveitchik once said that one day you're going to see that Rosh Hashivas and Rebbes are going to be basically both in Aaron and Moshe simultaneously. And Baruch Hashem, we see that happening today in Klal Yisrael throughout the world, slowly but surely, as we're coming closer and closer to the end of time in Yemos HaMashiach. I do want to mention to you that when it comes, ultimately speaking, to the Moshe Rabbeinu Minui and his basic accomplishments in this world, Moshe himself, therefore, was the person that, ultimately speaking, was the unique individual with all his kishronos, with all his qualities, with all his personality traits, how he was brought up, even the food that he ate from his childhood, his personality traits when it comes to his sensitivities. All of this, when you add it up, is what made him into a Moshe Rabbeinu and made him the chosen individual by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the capacity to impact upon everybody and to bring people close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become the leader par excellence and the person we sing songs about continuously. We teach children from their childhood, Torah Tzivulanu Moshe Marosha Kilos Yaakov. There's this beautiful song we sing with our children. We have to realize that if we are Klal Yisrael today, and we are the people that we are, and we accomplish what we're able to accomplish for thousands of years, all of this is based upon the molding procedures of the personality of Klal Yisrael that started with the Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave us, as a role model example, all the things that we have to do to develop in ourselves all these important midos to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He told us and taught us by his life how we're supposed to basically develop our children as well, to have these midas teivos. And therefore, if that's the case, he is the par excellent representative of my other similar banim, of what we have to be when it comes to Jews and Jewesses, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves, how we're supposed to behave, our concern and love for every creature on the face of this earth, not only for human beings, even for the animal kingdom, and to realize Racham Aval Kol Ma'asav, Ma'ashem Racham V'chanim Halachti B'Derachav. That is the mandate of Klal Yisrael. I hope you have a little better understanding after hearing the shiur today, what Moshe Rabbeinu did and accomplished, why he was picked, the qualities and personality traits that he possessed. Let's hope and pray we're able to model our own lives and the lives of our children, our grandchildren, after what Moshe Rabbeinu was, and develop an Am HaNivchar that has all these qualities, these midas teivos, and these abilities to be able to come close and be tidavik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the end of time. V'chein yihi ratzon. I hope I was able to teach you something today, and please share it with others to explain to them what makes a Jew a Jew, and what makes us children of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Moshe taught us this. His life story is the proof to all of this. And let's hope and pray that we'll be able to raise children and grandchildren with Siyata B'Torah Yerush Shemayim.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.